We're still talking about connections, getting connected, and this month we're talking about connecting with our senior saints. This is part two of that discussion. We're going to begin from Psalm 71, verse 9, in just a minute, as we look at hopefully some ways that we can strengthen our connections with our senior saints. You know, it's somebody says, how many sermons can you preach on a certain topic? You ever been asked that, David? I don't know that I've ever exhausted all of the resources that are available to preach on. And admittedly, there are times when those of us who preach figure out new and different ways to say the same old thing without sounding repetitious. You know, that's biblical. Because even Peter, as he wrote one of his little short letters toward the end of the New Testament, said, I'm writing these things to remind you to say these things again and to call to your remembrance. In other words, everything that we preach and say is not necessarily new and fresh. It can be a different way of saying some of the same things. And I'll admit that maybe in some of the things that we'll be studying, not only in the first 2 months, connecting with our church family, and then last month strengthening our connections with our youth, and this month strengthening our connections with our senior saints. You know, there are some really important basic things that, quite frankly, we need to have hammered into us over and over and over. And so I can't promise you not to repeat anything that I have said before, but I will make you this promise to the extent of my abilities. I'll try to make it interesting so that you won't notice so much that I'm saying some of the same things over and over. But last Sunday night, we began our discussion of this topic, and we basically began with the question, who are the senior saints? Because I had one or two people actually come to me. Well, one came to me, the other sent word, wanting to know who were the senior saints. And let me just be blunt. I mean, you know, I'm going to be as plain as I know how to be. We're talking about old people here. We're talking about old people. I don't know any better way to say it. And there shouldn't be anything accusatory in that terminology. Because if I think one of the points that we looked at last Sunday night was if you're not there yet, you're going to be. And so just get ready. But basically we're talking about people who are our older church members of our church family. And it's very important that we, first of all, recognize the fact that there is a group of people in pretty much any congregation of God's people who are older than the rest, and they get lumped into that category of the old people. Just exactly the same way that last month we talked about, sometimes we're guilty of pointing at all the teenagers and saying, well, the young people are, you know, and we talk about all the things that are wrong with the younger generation. And so it's tempting to do that with the old people as well. And it doesn't do any good to deny the fact that some of us are older than some of the rest of us. I mean, let's just own up to it. There are a lot of things that go along with being older. And all of those things are not necessarily bad things. But being old is, it's often the subject of a lot of jokes and snide remarks and silly comments and so forth. I heard about a little boy who was with his mother in a visiting an assisted living place, and going through the lobby, there was this nice elderly lady was sitting in a wheelchair there. And the little boy walked up to her and he said, "How old are you?" And she looked at him and smiled really sweet. And she said, "I'm 39 and holding," and just really smiled then. Well, he wasn't impressed. And he looked thoughtful for a second or two. And then he says, "Well, how old would you be if you quit holding on?" So some of us may be holding on a little tighter than others are. Or at least we like to feel like we're holding on a little bit tighter. But basically, when we talk about our senior saints, we're talking about the folks who are the oldest people in the church family. And then last Sunday night, we talked about what our senior saints have done. And I believe they've done a lot of good things. They've led. They've matured. They've learned and taught. And all of those things that they did as they proceeded through their lives helped them to be productive all along the way and actually help us to be able to look at them in a very good way now. And lest we get the idea that old people have reached a point at which they don't do anything anymore, we spend a few minutes talking about what our senior saints still do. And we talked about the fact that they give. They give not only of their money, but they give of their time. And they many of them give of themselves in service, not just to the church in general, but a lot of them serve other people in ways that some of us never hear about, never find out about. You know, one of the happiest occasions that I can think of is that occasion when you find out that old brother so-and-so, who's way up in years, now you learn that for the last 10 or 15 years, he's been going every few days to such and such's house just to check on them and make sure everything's all right. Nobody ever said anything about it. Nobody ever gave any recognition. But those are the kind of things that our senior saints still do. They still give, and they still watch for us. They still follow the Lord. And then we ended our discussion last Sunday night with the question, well, what do our senior saints need from us? Well, they need a lot of things. In fact, you could not divide a congregation. You could not separate a church family into its various age groups like we sometimes of necessity have to do, you know, the young people, the old people. The young marriage, the college age, you know, we've got all kind of terminology, but you cannot separate people into groups, even within the church, and not automatically have a list of things that particular group may need. And some of their needs are peculiar to that group of which they are a part. And our senior saints certainly need some things from us. They need our respect. They need to be remembered and recognized. They need to be appreciated. They need to be encouraged. They need to be appreciated because they have spent their lives appreciating others. They need to be encouraged because many of them have spent their lives being some of the most encouraging people. In fact, not long ago, one of our class teachers here said, "You know who has encouraged me more than anybody in this congregation?" I said, "No, but I can guess." This person said, "It was the older folks. It seems like they've kind of maybe gotten together and said, we need to give some encouragement to so-and-so." that's a great thing. They need our encouragement because they have been encouragers. Now, if you're there in Psalm 71, let's look at verse 9, first of all, where the psalmist says, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent." Now, I'm fairly sure that's David talking to God. But I'm also fairly sure that you could turn that conversation around and you could say that it would fit well coming from the elderly members of any church family. You could, excuse me, you could say that one of the things that they think about is, "Do not cast me off in my old age, and do not forsake me when my strength is spent." Because those are some realities. They are realities in our culture today. Do you remember? Well, maybe it's been 20 or 30 years ago now, but do you remember when Dr. Kevorkian and his cohorts were making such a push for the let's call it what let's the mercy killings, they called it, being able to take old folks and just give them a pill or a shot of something and make them die. And the idea was, you know, that's they've had a useful life, and so let's move them on out of the way. And you know, you don't hear much about that anymore. And I think one of the reasons why we don't hear as much about it is because there was a pretty good bit of opposition from the common people to that idea and some of those things that were talked about. But generally speaking, that's not too far from the attitude of our culture and our society today, is to forsake the folks who are older, to cast them off in a time of old age. So let's take a little closer look at the older folks. And let's start out with let's just acknowledge some of the downsides of growing old. That's right, there are some folks here in this room within the sound of my voice who don't know yet the downsides of growing old. There are some of us who are learning more and more every day about the downsides of growing old. First of all, generally speaking, nobody looks forward to it. Now, I remember when I was, well, I can remember when I was 13, 14, and I thought being 15 and getting my driver's permit would be the greatest thing that ever happened. And then when I got 15, and I thought getting to be 16 and getting my driver's license, where I could drive without mom in the car with me, and I could have at least a perceived greater amount of freedom, that'd be the greatest thing in the world. And then by the time I was 16 and began to drive, I began to look forward to graduating from high school and being out on my own. And then, excuse me, when I got out on my own, I began to look forward to getting married and having a family. And you know, along comes Beth, and then the before you know it, we've got the children, and I began to look forward to getting a little older and getting those kids raised, and then one day it hit me. You better slow down, boy. This train just keeps on moving. And most of us who have gotten to a mature age, and I don't mean, you know, mature like a banana that starts to turn black. I'm talking about, you know, a reasonable amount of maturity, not old enough to be thrown away, but a reasonable amount of maturity. We begin to realize that it's not all that great to look forward to. And so that's one of the downsides of getting old. Everybody's going to do it unless the alternative kicks in, and that's not good. But nobody's really excited about the idea that we're all getting older. Now, the second thing about getting old is factual. I mean, a lot of things don't work right anymore when you get old. And I know what you're thinking. And that's true, you know. Your teeth fall out. Your eyes don't work well anymore. You can't see well. No light is ever bright enough, no matter how bright it, except that one in the dentist office, you know, that's shining right in your eyes. The plumbing doesn't work well. The food, you know, I mean, just for no explicable reason, the same thing you've been eating all of your life now suddenly has a very detrimental effect on your digestive system, and nobody can explain why these things suddenly begin to happen, except, as the doctor says sometimes, well, you know, you are getting older. But there are a lot of other things that don't work as well when you get older. The car gets a lot harder to drive. It doesn't go as cleanly, especially backward, as it used to. I've even noticed that the steps on a step ladder are getting farther apart the older I get, and I'm just not sure why that happens. And so that's one of the downsides of getting old. And we know that those are facts. And then there's the fact that some old folks give old age a bad name. I've known some people, and you have too, who in their old age have turned into some of the most grouchy, disagreeable people in all of this world. Nobody here, no present company involved in that, but I remember one particular lady that I knew, a member of the Lord's church. And however many people knew her, let me say that again, however many people had ever met her before, knew her to be one of the sourest, most disagreeable people that they'd ever met. And when you meet someone like that, Sometimes it's hard not to assume that all older folks are going to get that way one day. Well, they're not. That's not true. But some people have, and they've given old age a bad name. And here's the worst one of all. You never know how bad it's going to be till you get there. You never know if it's going to be really rough or if it's not going to be so bad at all. You just got to get there and try it. And I'm saying all of these things because hopefully they will help the rest of us who aren't old. Did you catch that? The rest of us who are not old, it'll help us to be more patient toward the older folks and to be more understanding to those who are our senior saints, because there are a lot of challenges that they're facing and that they're going through. So let's consider something else. Let's consider the usefulness of old age. If you listen to some people, you might assume that once you get old, you need to be shoved out of the way and there's not anything left for you to do and you're in the way and holding up progress. You move too slow these days, and so let's get somebody younger to do your job. That is a reality in most of the working world today. And that's really not something that we would look forward to, is it? But I remember Noah was 600 years old when the flood came. He was in about the last third of his life when God told him to build that ark, and all of that happened. when God spoke to Abraham and called him in Haran and told him to leave his home and go into a place that he would show him, he was 75 years old when that story began. To put that in the right perspective in your mind, think about the fact that we don't know anything about Abraham until he was an old guy. That's when it all started. And then, of course, there was Moses, who was 80, and his brother Aaron was 83 when God sent them before Pharaoh to demand that Pharaoh let God's people go. If you didn't already know it, let me tell you something. There's still a lot of good usefulness in people who are older, in our senior saints. There's still a lot of good there. I have read that John Wesley, who was one of the main guys who began one of the prominent denominational churches in America, was alive in the days of the circuit riding preacher, and it's said that he rode 150,000 miles in his preaching career. And when he was 83 years old, he was heard to complain that he couldn't hold out as well as he wanted to in studying the Bible. After 15 hours a day, he was just all washed up. Now, I'm not sure what all he was studying and how he came to some of the conclusions that he did with 15 hours a day of Bible study, but I've read that that's what he said, 83 years old. At 84, he expressed his fear that he was becoming sinfully slothful because he couldn't seem to get up before 5 o'clock in the morning. And he was worried that it was a sin to sleep that late. At 87 years old, he learned his 11th foreign language. And at 88, he wrote in his diary that he was worried about how exhausted he became after only preaching twice a day, 6 days a week. John Newton, you know him as a songwriter, Amazing Grace, and some others. In his older years, someone asked him if he had a problem with his memory. And he said, "Oh, yes, indeed, I do." But he said, "I clearly remember two things. I remember that I am a great sinner. And I remember that I have a great Savior." Let's think for just a minute as we close about this fact that old people have something to live for. I know that doesn't come as a surprise to you. If you've still got your Bible open there to Psalm 71, let's skip down a few verses from where we read a few minutes ago, and let's look at verse 18. Beginning at verse 18, let's read through verse 21. "So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again from the depths of the earth. You will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. Does it not sound like the inspired writer there is emphasizing the fact that there is, as long as he is alive, the positive ahead of him? And the positive will be coming from God. But don't miss the fact that he says one of the reasons why he wants to continue to live, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation. Now, a couple of ways you could look at that. You could say that he's talking about the generation right after him. But you know, there's no reason why we couldn't read it to mean he has spoken of God to his generation, he's spoken of God to the next generation, and he's spoken of God to the next generation. After all, we all outlive a generation or two. And so he wants to speak of God to one more generation. Let me see my grandchildren get old enough to be led to God. And then at the last part of that verse, he says, verse 18, your power to all those to come, not just the next generation, but to all those to come. There are a couple of characters in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 2, Simeon and Anna, and they each were associated with the temple, and they each were there or came on the occasion when the infant Jesus was brought to the temple by his parents to be presented there. A sacrifice was brought by Jesus's parents because that's what God required in his law. Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And so they brought a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord. That's Luke chapter 2, verse 24, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. By the way, that was the specified sacrifice for those who were poor, for those who could not afford the greater sacrifice. Verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he, that is Simeon, took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, Israel. You hear what Simeon said there? He said, I can die now because I've been able to see what the Lord told me that I would live until I saw. There was purpose. There was reason. He had something to look forward to. The same thing with Anna. We don't know how old Simeon was, but the implication is he was an elderly man. That's not the case with Anna that it speaks of in the next few verses. Verse 36, there was a prophetess, Anna, daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Those two are illustrations of the fact that God has always given even those who are older a reason to live. Because of the fact that spiritual retirement only begins when life ends. I hear a lot about this retirement business. I've had so much junk mail in my mailbox about Medicare and all of that kind of stuff, you know, that you're supposed to, it kicks in for you at 65 and all of that. All I can tell you is get ready for all that junk mail. Retirement. So many people measure the worth of their life by how much longer they've got before they can retire from work. Folks, we can't afford to look at it that way from the standpoint of spiritual things, because there is no spiritual retirement. As long as we are alive on this earth and as long as our minds are functioning normally, God still has plenty of work for us to do. Old people, that's who we're talking about. Our senior saints. We love them, we appreciate them, and we need to tell them so. We don't need for them to wonder whether anybody cares or not. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.